I want to welcome via Skype Tom Lukowski. Tom, I'm not going to get your title right. I know you're the vice president for assistive technology at Comcast. And welcome to VibeLab. We're glad to have you here.
Thanks, Amy. Glad to be here. So I've been at Comcast now for just over 2 years. And as Amy mentioned, I'm the vice president of accessibility. And I also look out for localization of our products. So building our products with a native language interface, Spanish and other languages as well. There's a nice intersection between accessibility and multicultural interfaces. And so it's great to be able to tackle both of those areas. So in terms of accessibility, we really have four pillars that we're focused on. One is customer engagement. The second pillar is product capabilities. The talking guide would be a great example of that. The third pillar is world-class service, making sure that customers with disabilities can get the support they need. And we all know that that's been a challenge within our industry for a while in terms of, in this case, people who are blind being able to access video description and getting help from customer care representatives. The third pillar is service. And then the fourth pillar is infrastructure, making sure that we have the best practices and requirements that the various product teams at Comcast need to deliver an accessible mobile app or an accessible website or in some cases, an accessible set-top box. For the customer engagement side, we do reach out to consumers in several ways. One is through our beta test program, and Amy is a part of that. Brian Charlson, Nika Pikla is also from the Boston area, part of that. We have about 500 people in our database right now of customers who have expressed an interest in participating in trial tests when they come up, and they do on occasion, not just with voice guidance and set-top box, but we've done some web and mobile tests. We've done usability studies at conferences. That's one way. The other way, we employ a contractor that employs people with disabilities to do our quality assurance testing. We also have roundtables with leaders in the disability community. Yesterday, we hosted a roundtable with leaders from the deaf and hard of hearing community. November 14th, we'll have leaders from the blind and low vision community in. And the purpose of those roundtables is to get our executives and our product designers, our engineers in front of the disability community, so we can have a dialogue around products that are in development, products that are in the field, and learn from our current experiences and inform our requirements for future development. So we have several ways there, as you can see, of engaging the consumer. Certainly going to conferences, speaking at events like the ViBug event is an important part of that as well. Last summer, we were at the National Federation of the Blind and the American Council of the Blind conventions. Product capabilities, as I mentioned, is the second pillar. We have several websites, several apps that are accessible for users. Xfinity Connect is our communications app. If you have digital voice and internet service from Comcast, where you can place and receive calls from your home number using your mobile app when you're on the go, as long as you have a Wi-Fi connection. We have our entertainment products. TV Go is another one where you can watch content outside your home. So it's like watching video on demand, downloading content, streaming some content through your mobile app. We have an Xfinity TV app, which is our in-home and out-of-home experience. So it's our cloud DVR, digital video recorder. That's available in the Boston area. You can actually, if you're in your home, use the Xfinity TV app to watch live TV. Last week, for example, I watched a show and I was able to turn on the SAP button and watch the show with description right on my iPhone. So we have available for Android and iOS devices, and that's our Xfinity TV app. Then we have some websites as well that are accessible, and we continue to add more over time. For example, you can pay your bill now online. Maybe a year and a half ago, that wasn't as easy to do. And today, it is possible to do that online and make other adjustments to your service. That would be one example of a website that's accessible. Remote controls would be another area of product capability, moving toward adding a dedicated button on the remote control for turning on and off video description. We have some devices that have this capability today, and we'll add more over time. And we'll actually have buttons for turning on the talking guide. Some of these buttons will be configurable buttons. We won't necessarily have a dedicated button for, the talking guide. It will be something that would be configured in settings or a button that you would press twice to enable a feature or something like that. So multi-purpose buttons, but some of those purposes will be set aside for accessibility. Service is the third pillar. And last October, we opened up our customer service center for people with disabilities. It's open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can reach it at 855-270-0379. 855-270-0379. You could also reach the center via email, accessibility@comcast.com. And we're soon going to release an accessible chat interface. There is a chat interface today. I just don't recommend it for screen reader users just yet. But accessibility@comcast.com, email, and the phone number are probably the two best ways to reach the center right now. There's 32 agents that have been optimally trained on Comcast accessibility initiatives, and this would be the number that when we get ready to roll out the voice guidance feature that you'd want to use, these folks will have all of the information and get everyone set up. If you have to upgrade from your existing platform to the X1 platform, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Gotten some good feedback on the service center, and we look to evolve that over time. More training will be rolled out in November. And it's something that we see other companies doing now as well. We believe we're in a good spot there and realize that there's always work to do to improve it, make it easier and better. Our customer care group is committed to working with my team to make that happen. Then the fourth pillar is infrastructure and trying to bake accessibility into the culture, into our development process, so that accessibility is not an afterthought. It's something that we consider right from the design forward through development and ultimately through the launch of a product. I would say we're making progress there. Of course, there's more work to be done. There's always work in that area. I think the talking guide is a great example. Remote controls that take accessibility into consideration as we add the ability to configure buttons to turn on and off various features like video description. And there's other examples of that as well, making sure that our teams can make apps accessible, for example, so that they have the latest information on how to make an Android or an iOS app accessible and our best practices. So those can't really underestimate the infrastructure because that really was what powers it all. But certainly we're always looking to improve and move that forward. We're pretty excited about something called voice guidance. Voice guidance is a feature that will, for the first time in our industry here in the U.S., open up the set-top box to people who are blind or visually impaired. Amy, you've used it. Why don't you share maybe a couple of thoughts on and just your general reaction. Has it been impactful?
Absolutely. And just, Tom, so you'll know, Mick is in the room as well. I am one of the lucky beta testers, and I have to say I was not much of a TV watcher, and because of my schedule in particular, not being able to program the DVR myself, I really wasn't much of a TV watcher. And now I find a couple of things. One is that it's really just very exciting to be able to tell what's on TV without having to use another device or, you know, go look up a TV listing on my phone or whatever. So I found that really impactful. And also, I probably watch more TV now than I ever used to because I now can record the programs on my own. I don't have to ask anybody to do it, and I can get to those recordings. And also, particularly with on-demand content, I wanted, just as an example, I wanted to watch The Roosevelts, but I wasn't able to watch it at the time that it was on. And I was able to go on demand and, you know, get those shows and watch them when I was available to watch them. So it's been very impactful. I mean, it's a work in progress, so there's some challenges, but it definitely has changed my viewing habits and my independent access. My family used to always have the control, the remotes, because I never really used them that much. And now I insist that they be left on the table that I want them on so that I can get access.
We like to hear that. Increasing TV watching is that I'm doing my job. Now, increasing purchases on demand, even better. We're pretty excited. The talking guide essentially announces whatever is highlighted on screen. So you will turn it on, again, using a button on the remote control. It's a triangular button. You press it once, and it's the hot key that opens up the help menu. You press it again, and it opens up the voice guidance feature, and your box will start announcing to you. And once you turn it on, you will then move through the interface, just like you would without it on, using the remote control. So up, down, right, left arrow keys, the menu key, the select or OK key, which is in the middle of that cursor pad. And as you move through, things announce. And so I'm going to try to play a bit of a sample of this. I don't know that it'll come through. We'll find out. Bear with me while I bring it up here. All right. So I'm going to play this video, and what you're going to hear is some program audio in the background. And then when voice guidance starts, you'll see that we're starting from a point of where we're turning it on. And I'll take you through the main menu and into the TV listings, and then we'll pick it up.
Voice guidance. Here on screen, text and options read aloud to help you navigate through screens. Tip: to turn off voice guidance later, return to the help section and press A. Turn on voice guidance. Voice guidance on. Xfinity menu. Press right or left arrow to review, then press OK to select. Guide. Save. On demand. Search. Apps. Settings. Guide.
And we're going to open the guide by hitting OK.
Xfinity TV listings. On now, Days of Our Lives. 15 minutes remaining. Closed captions available. Rated TV PG-13. NBC HD Channel A10. Press right or left arrow to review programs on this channel. Press up or down arrow to review programs on other channels. Press OK to watch. Press Guide to filter channels.
There's an example of what it would sound like. And essentially, all you're doing is using that A key to turn it on or off. And you're using the arrow keys, the OK, and then the menu key. There are other keys as well on the remote, obviously. And we're still working to, you know, work them into the design. So when you first get this feature, phase one is the main menu. It's the TV listings, on-demand, DVR, settings, and possibly a search feature, which we're working on now. We'll see how far we get with that. There are other features that will come later in phase two and beyond. With X1, since it's a cloud-based platform, everything happens in the cloud. There isn't any text-to-speech engine on your box or anything like that. We can add features quickly and easily. And literally, you know, you go to bed one night and by the time you wake up in the morning, you have an updated version of voice guidance because it's just part of the update that we roll out on a daily basis. So we can add new features. Phase two and beyond would be third-party apps like Pandora and a sports app and weather apps and things of that nature. But we have to do a little bit more with our architecture to get that piece to work. But we figured, and what we're hearing from our trial, is that people are really interested in, you know, the TV listings and on-demand and being able to schedule and play back a DVR recording and those types of tasks that we haven't really had access to before. And so that's where we started with phase one. But the speech is basically all processed up in the cloud, and then we send MP3 files down to the box. And so it's just like a streaming audio at that point.
Is the access to descriptive video going to be available in phase one, or is that for later?
That's phase one, and I can actually play the rest of this if you just kind of want to see how it flips through menus. Would that be of interest?
Yes.
All right. Let me do that. It's about a 3-minute long video, and from the guide, we'll go out back to the main menu. We'll go into on-demand, and I believe this version of the video that I downloaded also has the settings where you would see how we turn on a description.
1:30 p.m. Access Hollywood Live, 60 minutes. Closed captions available. Rated TV PG. NBC HD Channel A10.
I'm going to go back out to the menu.
Xfinity menu. Press right or left arrow to review, then saved.
So speech is interruptible.
On demand.
I'm going to open on demand by the OK key.
On demand. Press left or right arrow to review items, then press OK to select. Movies. Category, just in. The Hunger Games. Catching Fire. From $4.99. Release 2013. rated PG-13. Rotten Tomatoes rating 89%.
We're going to go back out.
The Hunger Games.
Yep, into the
catching
movie.
Catching fire. From $4.99. N7/21. Release 2013. Rated PG-13.
Hey,
Katniss and Peeta sense growing unrest as they tour the country of Panem and prepare to participate in the 75th Hunger Games. Meanwhile, President Snow plots their downfall during preparations for the quarter quell. Rent/buy. Xfinity menu. Press right or left arrow to review, then press OK to select.
Now we're going to go to settings.
On demand. Search. Apps. Settings. Settings. Press up or down arrow to review, then press OK to select. Preferences.
Give me tab.
Device settings. Device settings.
You want a Pepsi,
press up or down arrow to review, then press OK to select. Closed captions. Video display. Audio.
Open audio.
Audio. Press up or down arrow to review, then press OK to select. Language.
Hey, I'm talking to you, McFly, you Irish bug.
Oh, hey, Biff. Hey, guys. How
English
are
selected.
Got my homework finished, McFly?
Well, actually, I figured since it was
Spanish.
Hello? Hello? Anybody?
Spanish selected.
Necesito tiempo para copiarlo.
So you could see that we did switch to Spanish. You can hopefully hear that background audio. That would be one way that you could turn on video description. Since we recorded this video, we added an accessibility settings screen to the X1 settings interface. And in there, we have accessibility settings, and we have something called video description within those settings that will toggle this on and off for you as well. So definitely in phase one, and I think much improved over this video by having accessibility settings where you don't have to know that it's Spanish or whatever. You just go in, turn on video description, and voila, if it's there, you'll have it. So that really is the overview of what the guide will do in phase one. You heard a lot of conversation. We have to assume that people really haven't used a guide like this. We're trying to cater to a cross range of folks, seniors, all the way up to power users, like most of you. And we're going to offer this right now by default in what we call beginner verbosity or novice mode. Over time and various releases, we plan to introduce an intermediate and advanced mode where we would dial back and eliminate the directions altogether. We also know that speech rate is important to address, and we'll add that over time as well. So what we're hearing from our trial participants is don't hold this up to add those features, because having something is better than not having anything at all. And as long as we're committed, people seem to be fine with, introducing and rolling in these features over time.
Do you have a sense about when you may consider offering it to the general public, and what would that process look like?
We are going to offer it to the general public. To existing X1 customers, it'll be launched in a beta format on November 19th. That's the date right now. That date could shift one way or the other, but that's what we're striving for right now. And then a little while after that, I don't have a definitive date for you, we're going to launch a program that will enable customers who are on existing boxes that are not part of the X1 entertainment system to upgrade to X1. I have a meeting on Monday actually to finalize that policy, so I really can't go into specifics here, but it's safe to say that by the end of the year there will be a program in place that will allow Xfinity customers to move from their current box to X1 so that they could take advantage of voice guidance. I just don't have that date for you today.
If somebody is not a current X1 customer and wants to move to X1, can they do that now?
Yeah, they could do that now through the normal process. They would upgrade through the normal process. We are going to have a program that would allow people to upgrade as long as they could verify legal blindness. They would not be charged for that upgrade. That's what our program will look like when we launch it later on. But you can certainly upgrade now if you wanted to.
So is the current Xbox, is that the one that's going to be the what's going to have this voice guidance, or does it require a different box?
X1 is what you'd need. That's the service you'd need to get the voice guidance feature. X1 is a product that we offer. So if you were to call us and say, I would like the X1 service, you know, they would set you up with that. Today, though, before this program that I announced that we're going to launch later in the year, there would be a minimum requirement of, you know, internet access and video service. Once we get our program in place, we're going to open it up to all tiers of service. That's why I don't really have a date yet where I can announce more details, just because it's some issues that we need to work through on that. So if you were to call today, there would be a minimum level of service you'd need to have to get X1.
Let me just restate it and see if I have it accurate. So essentially, current X1 customers will be able to access the voice guidance in beta beginning November 19th. And then in the future, sometime before the end of the year, you're anticipating that people who are not on the X1 platform will be able to access the voice guidance without charge by migrating to that platform.
They will be asked to verify, just like we would register somebody right for directory assistance exemption, they would be asked to verify for that upgrade.
So what is the verification requirement, and how do you know if your system is considered X1 or not?
Well, you'll know because you know that you'll have the X1 service or not. We can look at that. We know who has what box, so that's not a problem.
What's the verification requirement for disability?
So that's the piece that we're working through right now on Monday. But say you were registered with the Braille and Talking Book Program or Bookshare or Learning LI, or you had a certification from a teacher or doctor's note, or there's a range of verification. It's not any different than trying to get that currency reader from NLS or any others for that matter. Mm-hmm. It's a very similar process.
I've spoken with people at the Disability Service Center, and in the past they've told me that you have to be a Triple Play member, have all three services to get the service. That was when I had inquired about being a beta tester. And from what you're saying, to upgrade to the Xbox, do you still have to have all three services?
When this additional program launches, we will allow people who need accessibility to have X1 without all of those services. This might roll in phases, so we're still finalizing the policy. But in talking with Amy, I understand there was some confusion as to what would be available. What you heard from the Customer Care Service Center is absolutely correct right now. We haven't rolled this out to them, so they're going to tell you what you need for X1 today. They don't even have this program in front of them yet. I'm here to inform you that by the time we launch this program and we reach out to customers who are not on the X1 platform, you'll be able to get this on packages that are not Triple Play.
But they will need both TV service and internet through Comcast.
That is something that we're still working through. It will work without the internet service, but because X1 is completely cloud, because there's a cable modem inside the set-top box, but because there are third-party apps and things of that nature, if you just had video service, we need to look at that experience a little more closely to make sure that everything runs as it would be expected. That's our goal, to offer it to all tiers of service over time.
Are the first group of people that it's going to work for, are those going to be people that have all three services or have internet and the cable service?
So the first group of people that it's going to work for is anyone who has X1 in their home. Right now, for those like Mika and Amy that are in the trial, they're on a white list. So anyone else in our X1 service can hit the A key twice and they won't have any result. If Amy or Mika press the A key twice, they turn on voice guidance because they've been whitelisted in. November 19th, we lift that whitelist away and it's open to anyone who has X1. And so that's the first group of customers. After that, once we launch this new program for customers that are not on the X1 platform, those are the details that we need to work out. Can we launch it to all tiers on day one? Or do we need to do a little bit more work on our end? And so then we kind of release it to, you know, one group first and another group later. Those are the details that we're still working through. So I can't really be any more, you know, substantive than that at this point, because I yet don't know what we're looking at in terms of double play, single play. It's a complicated.
Because we have a business account for internet through Comcast, and you can't get the television through that unless you have a storefront. So we have a separate Comcast account for cable, which is not a business account. So we actually have two accounts with Comcast, and we actually pay a lot of money to them. Because I was on the phone with someone this summer, probably in August, after I heard you speak at the ACB conference. And she had gone through all that with me and then told me that, unfortunately, because I have two separate accounts and they're not connected because one's a regular account and one is a business account, that we would have to be waiting a long time. So maybe if you take into consideration, you know, different people's situations when you're looking into this in the future.
There's a lot of different moving pieces to all of this, as I'm sure you're finding just in talking about your own account. And we're going to work through that, and there probably will be some, you know, one-off type situations like you described, and we'll deal with them as they come up. Folks can reach out to me directly. You know, you can try the accessibility@comcast.com email address. That goes right to the center, and if they can't answer it, it gets escalated to my team, and then we look at it, and we'll get you an answer one way or the other, and we'll work with you. You know, Comcast, I have to say, the executives here are very excited about this feature. They want to make it work. They really feel that it's something that the timing is right, and I'm very confident that we're going to work through all of these details. It's going to take us a little while to work through some of them. You know, getting the technology together, you know, may turn out to be the easy part. It's the different account scenarios that we have to work through, and now once you start doing that, you're talking about the three different divisions. So Comcast, I'm based in the corporate headquarters, and that's where the X1 is developed. But then each division, there's a Northeast division, a Central division, and a West division. That's where all of you guys are getting your service from, the Northeast division. So not only do we have to deliver the technology, now we're in the process of educating the Northeast division about how it works and how we're going to process these calls and who's going to get what box for what price and all of these things. And so we're working through that, and that's why I don't want to give you a date yet, but I do want to assure you that anyone who really needs this accessibility feature is going to get it. That's for sure.
Tom, can you maybe clarify for the group, just, you know, because people may not know, like, just at looking at today, who would typically have X1, you know, in today before any of these programs launch, and maybe just expand a little bit more of if someone's a Comcast customer, how they would know if they have X1 or who would typically have it right now?
Yeah, I think we're somewhere around 25% of Comcast customers have X1. So it's really difficult for me to say.
What does the X1 offer, if anything, that other cable boxes don't offer?
So your access to third-party applications, it offers more content than you would get in another box, you know, some web-based content and other features in that realm. So there are content and features that exist on X1 that you wouldn't get. The cloud DVR feature, so the ability to stream your DVR recordings, to watch live TV on an app inside your home, the ability to download your DVR recordings to your tablet or iPhone or Android device when you're outside of your home and watch it. Those types of features would only be associated with X1 and not the other platform.
Is it the intent of Comcast to eventually standardize on X1 as opposed to other boxes? Like, for example, right now we have three different model is a cable box at home. I mean, is that, is like the X1 the de facto standard that which we'll try to push people towards?
Yeah, I would say we want to move in that direction over time. That's years away. You can imagine, you know, 20-some-odd million boxes are out in the field right now. It's like turning a cruise ship around in the ocean, right? It's very difficult to just flip a switch and say you're going to make everything X1. I would say we're several years from that happening, but is that something that we would like to do? Over time, I would say yes. But when that happens and how that happens, there's a long way to go between now and then.
I was going to ask, do you have to have HD high-def TV for this to work?
You do have to have an HDMI input for this to work, yes, on your TV to work well. Right now, some of the older boxes, you can connect them in a number of ways, but you do need HDMI. So you do need a digital TV for this to work. You know, we want to also make accessibility available through other platforms, even if it's not the talking guide. We are going to, for existing boxes, make sure that there's a button that you can configure to turn on and off video description easily. We even are soon going to have a remote available for some of our native boxes, our Motorola boxes that are not on the X1 platform, that will have a D key on the remote, and that will turn on and off the SAP audio track. So our goal is to provide as much accessibility as we can based on the platform's capabilities. So with X1, we can do a lot more than we can do on a platform that's been in the field for 10, 15 years, of course, but we don't want to ignore that platform that's been in the field for 10 or 15 years, and we're looking at ways that we can push as much accessibility into that platform as possible. And I think for our community, the blind, low vision community, the best thing we can do with the older boxes would be to have a dedicated button on the remote control to turn on and off the video description.
When will those types of remotes be deployed out to the public?
I would say within the next 3 to 5 months, if I had to look into the crystal ball. I saw the final production model of that recently, and yesterday we had a meeting to talk through how we would deploy these remotes. So we're definitely getting closer.
Regarding those remotes, is there a way to find out when the date will be for them so that people can, I guess, contact Comcast to get one of those remotes in the future?
We're going to continue to work through Vibug and other channels within the blind, low vision community to let people know of that. And so I would just say, you know, stay tuned here. And, you know, we are going to update. We do have a page on our Comcast.com site. It's comcast.com/accessibility. And obviously that page will be updated and have information on what's available for what platform over time.
Mika and I will be getting that information, and I'll make sure to pass it on to Vibeg.
I do also want to mention that we do have Braille and large print channel lineups available upon request. So you can call the Accessibility Center of Excellence and order a hard copy Braille or large print channel guide. Kind of ironic that I'm talking about hard copy documents to Vibug, but you might find it helpful. That's available now.
When these new things roll out, would you have to go through the Accessibility Service Center, or will the people, when you call like 1-800-COMCAST, know what you're talking about?
All of the agents are going to be trained, but the Accessibility Service Center there for this purpose. So we're going to encourage the divisions to funnel all of these types of questions to the Center of Excellence. It's really not any different than what AT&T or Verizon do with their customer service centers for people with disabilities. Now Apple has one. Microsoft has the Accessibility Help Desk. You know, you could call these general agents, you know, but X in every 1,000 calls, you know, very few might actually be about accessibility. And so that's why we've set up these types of service centers in large companies, so that we can more effectively deliver the service that you're all in need of. If I were in Vibug and I were a Comcast customer, I wouldn't use 1-800-COMCAST. I would just use the number I gave earlier, 855-270-0379, because you're guaranteed to get an agent that has been trained on these issues. And then if they don't know the answer, they have a direct line to the accessibility group within Comcast to get it. So it's just a more customer-friendly way to get access to this information.
One of the things that we, as beta testers, have been encouraging Comcast to do is to streamline this as much as possible so that blind people can activate these kinds of services once they have the box that's accessible to whatever extent it is, that we can activate them independently, because our experience for many of us who were beta testers was that the people who came out to install the X1, for example, in many cases really did not know what this was all about, as you can imagine. So I'm sure Comcast is going to try to improve that, but I think we're encouraging them to make it known that to the extent that people can, once you have the right equipment installed, that you can activate service independently.
And that's a great point, Amy. And training is a big piece of what we're working on right now as we prepare not only for the November 19th launch to existing customers, but then certainly the program we talked about that will roll out later in the year. We need to train our customer service representatives. We need to train our technicians that are going out into the home that, you just can't install the box and leave the remote on the table, right? You have to make sure that somebody's oriented to the remote, although we have features planned that will make it easier for that in the future. But right now, you need to make sure that if you're the tech, when I leave the house, the person who has requested X1 from an accessibility perspective needs to know how this remote is laid out and what buttons are where and what buttons do you really need to get started. We have a lot of technicians all over the country, as you might expect, and we're working with the teams now to train them and to develop that training for the care agents. For example, I know that the Accessibility Center of Excellence has a training beginning on November 3rd just on voice guidance. Everything they need to know about voice guidance, how to set somebody up, how to process the requests from customers that need to get upgraded from one box to the X1 box. So these are the types of things that we're working through right now to make sure that we're in better shape. The trial was a little bit different in the sense that these were one-off installations largely, and we tried to give as much information as we could, but there wasn't really a formal training program behind it. And some people were on the whitelist, and then if the whitelist wasn't effective right away, then there were lots of different issues, but that's why we called it a trial, and that's why we limited it to a very small group of participants. 20 at most people have been part of this trial, and that's all over the country. And, three or four them are in Boston alone. So that's, one-fifth of the trial participants. So you can see the complexities there that we're trying to work through.
How do you choose your beta testers? Do they have to be power users? Are they just everyday people? How do you go about doing that?
No, we essentially, ask anyone who's interested to email us, and we put people into the database. And then depending on what the test is, we might put a survey out, and people fill out that survey. That's what we did for some usability tests that we did last summer at the American Council of the Blind convention. We wanted to have a focus group, or several focus groups, on remote controls and what people would like to see in a remote control. So we put a survey out. People fill it out. And based on that survey, our user experience team, our usability experts, cull through the data and pick the participants that they feel represent a range of customer profiles that we're looking to include in the study. Other cases, like the voice guidance trial, largely it was handpicked by me. I knew people that I felt really had a good command of technology, but also a very good command of the range of abilities within the community in terms of the use of assistive technology, and those were the people that I wanted to hear from. Because we have, from time to time now, focus groups where we talk about the level of messaging. Can you navigate this type of a screen? What would you like to see different? Not to say that we couldn't get that data from other people. We certainly could, but when you're only dealing with 15, 20 participants, we tried to get it from the folks that I knew would be interested in testing this type of technology, and B, would be able to inform their input to us based on what they know other consumers are dealing with in the community. If you really want to be a beta tester, all you have to do is send an email to accessibility@comcast.com and tell us that you want to be a beta tester.
I have a question.
We're almost out of time. Anybody who has not asked a question have a question? Okay, Jeanette, the last question is yours.
You said that people need to have HDMI. Now, I understand that means high definition. Is that high definition TV or something additional?
So your TV has to have an HDMI input to be able to connect to the X1 platform. That's standard on most TVs today. Standard on most, if not all, TVs today.
It depends upon how old your TV is. And
it kind of looks like a USB port, but
yeah.
It's different, but that's what it feels like.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like a USB port, but depending upon how old your TV is, you may or may not have it.
Well, certainly a tech would know when they came out to the house. We couldn't tell what your TV was. We can only tell what box you have.
Is this going to make it that people will have to have newer TVs and people on limited incomes that are blind won't be able to access us?
That's why we're trying to push accessibility as much as we can into other platforms. We know that there might be challenges where there are older TVs, and so we need to have solutions in place for that as well. So right now we're focused on X1 and making that accessible. We're focused on the dedicated button on a remote control for the native box. So we're trying to do as much as we can within each platform.
If you think about it, not everybody can afford an iPhone, or not everybody can afford an iPhone that's capable of using the KNFB reader, for example. So it's whatever, I mean, obviously, and this is an unfortunate consequence, but the reality is people who have the capacity to get the most advanced technology are going to get the greatest benefit out of this. People who have older technology, because of the limitations of that technology, probably will not have all of the same access, but hopefully will have some access.
This is not a question for Tom, but it's probably more for Amy and Mika. How much more is the X1 service, say, compared to the sort of legacy service?
Tom, do you know how much more X1 will cost than regular
it
service?
It's really the same price as a double play or triple play package that you would have in a non-X1 box.
Right.
There isn't any additional charge for the service itself.
All right. Tom, I want to thank you very much for coming on and spending part of your Saturday.
Happy to do it. It's awesome. They will make that happen. But glad. Thanks for inviting me. And I guess there's a little of interest in this, which is also nice to see.
Yep. Thanks very much.